This is Radharasudhaniti class. We're starting a new verse, verse 144. And the title of this verse is The Power of Radha Bhajan. What is the power and uniqueness of Radha Bhajan? We can read a small introduction I wrote. It says that in this verse, 144, Shripad Prabodhananda Saraswati is identifying himself with his sadaka form, his external form as a sadaka. It's called sadaka of age. And his usual mood, his Prabodhananda Saraswati, in his usual mood of ecstatic exaggeration, Shripad loudly proclaims the absolute, unexcelled, and unequaled supremacy of Srimati Radharani and Radha Bhajan and Sri Dham Vrindavan and us, the humble maidservants, the kinkaris, the manjaris. So in essence, in this verse, Shripad Prabodhananda Saraswati, he's very poetically saying, this is the essence, that Brajavas, to live in Vrindavan and to do Radha Bhajan are far, far superior in terms of millions. He uses the word koti four times. Koti, 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 koti. Millions and millions of times. So this Brajavas, living in Vrindavan, worshipping Radharani and Ravana Gamarg, is far superior to all forms of sadhana. Millions of forms of sadhana and all types of chatur purusharta, the four goals of life, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So let's see the verse now. The verse is basically about the power of Radha Bhajan. Very beautiful verse. Radha namaiva karyam yanurina militam sadhanadisha kotis tyajya Nirajya Radha Parakamala Suddham Sat Pumartagra Koti Radha Patabja Lilabhuvi Jayati Sada Ananda Jayati Sada Ananda Mandara Koti Sri Radha Kinkarim Kinkari, that's the mantra, it's the maidservants. Sri Radha Kinkarinam Lutati Charanayor Adbhuta Siddhi Koti. Koti, koti. Koti means millions in translation. Sometimes they say crores. Koti means crores in India. By daily singing, anudinam, that's there in the line, by daily singing only the holy name of Sri Radha. There's one gentleman at Radhakund you must be familiar with. He's been there since a few years. He appeared on the scene. Nice contribution to the scene. And I've been living here in Kartik, every Kartik since 1994, and permanently since 2002. So he came a few years, 3 years ago or so. And he, day and night, chants Radhe, 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 Radhe. That's all. Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. Once I had some Hindi books which I presented to him. Some of mine and some of Prabhupada. And he just folded his hands. And he touched the books like this and folded his hands and he said, thank you. Only Radhanam. Cable Radhanam. Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. Radhe, 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 Radhe. You've seen him. He wears pants and shirt. Oh my God. Because it's Bob. It doesn't matter whether your pants or shirt or jeans or whatever your markings and externals are. Because they're called the Chinna, Vaishnav Chinna. Kantimala, neck beads, and tilak. These are chinna. But he may have chinna, but no bhav. He may have chinna, but no rati or ruchi attached to Krishna or ruchi for bhajan. Because you see, sometimes many avadhuts, they just wear some rag and they don't put on tilak for weeks or ever sometimes. But they're great devotees of the Lord. So as they say everywhere, you can't judge a book by its cover. Don't misunderstand by the externals. By daily singing only the name of Radha, millions of the best spiritual practices become rejectable. By worshipping the nectar of Radha's lotus feet, millions of the best goals of human life. Goals of human life means the Chatur Purushartha, Dharma, Art, Kam, Moksha. They become rejectable, abandoned. We just leave them. Why do we feel that way if we're worshipping or chanting Radharani's name or worshipping her feet and Radha Bhajan? Because in this Braja, he said, there's millions of great wish-yielding trees in the playground of Radharani's feet. Because people do dharma, they worship demigods, they do homa, they do yajna, they do prikamas, they do shastra swadhyaya, so many things to attain something. They want a goal, they want an objective, an art. Art means an objective, a goal of some value, some progression, some money, some position, some fame, name, power. Success in school, success in business, they worship Ganapati, etc., etc. Success in life. There's so many obstacles of life, so even just to remove obstacles, we worship Ganapati Bhagavan. Vigna Nash, he's a Raj, Vigna Raj, they call him Vigna Raj. Vigna means problems, everyone has problems, so many problems, so he's the lord of destroying all those problems, Ganapati. Gana means groups, or collections, and Pati means the lord of, the controller of. So he brings lots of good things for those that want good things in this world, Ganapati Bhajan, Ganapati worship. But we're finding everything in Radharani's feet. And just by chanting her name and worshipping her feet, there's millions of desire trees, whatever we want. Whatever we want, we can get from Radharani's feet. We don't need to do homa or yoga or anything. We need to chant Nam and worship her feet. That's what the verse is saying. And then he says, now what about Manjaris? Because this whole course is about the glories of Radha. The title of this course, seminar, if you like, is the glories of Sri Radha and her wonderful seva as a Manjari. So every verse, practically, especially in Radharas Sudaniti, not everyone, but selected 40, 45 verses which we're focasing on in Adhik Mas this year and now in Kartik. They're all about kinkaris, dasis, anucharanis, paricharanis, maidservants, etc. That's the Manjaris. And the glories of Radharani. To always remind us, and to remind anyone, of who is our Ishtadev, who are we worshipping, how great, how... Because that's in anything, in any devotional pursuit or practice, there's something called the Mahima. Mahima. Maha means great, right? Mahaprasad. So Mahima means the glories, the greatness of. So there's, like we're living in a Dham. Why should we live in Braja Dham? Why should we live in Mathura Mandala? There's Skanda Puran, Padma Puran, so many Purans will talk about the Mathura Mahatmyam. Rupa Goswami has collected one book called Mathura Mahatmyam. It's in English, you can buy in Vrindavan. It's probably, you can download it for free on the net, I'm sure. PDF file. Mathura Mahatmyam, the glories of living in Mathura. So when one lives here in Braj Mandal, sometimes he gets lackadaisical, he becomes complacent, he starts thinking in mundane ways, and oh, it's an ordinary place. And then he has to tune up his vichar, tune up his understanding or consideration, or alter his outlook, refine his conception, and remind himself of where he is, what is the or she, where they are, what is the significance. This is not a place in the geographical world. Vrindavan is not part of the topographical world or the geographical world of this earth planet or this Indian continent. It is totally transcendental. And it says that Vrindavan, Braj Mandal, is like a lotus flower. When the entire jagat, Srishti Pralaya, Pralaya means creation and destruction, the entire jagat Pralaya is all destroyed. Everything's annihilated, just burns, everything's burned down completely to a crisp, and then it rains like anything, and it's all floodwaters everywhere. The whole universe is covered with water. And all the and floating up, standing above that water is a lotus flower, and it's Brajmandal. Brajmandal can't be burned, and Brajmandal can't be burned by the fire, or moistened by the water, or withered by the wind. These are the lakshana, the Atma lakshana given in Gita in chapter 2 in English. The soul is imperishable, eternal, undying. Najayate mriyate va kadachin nayam bhutva bhavita va nabhuya ojo nityam shashvato yam parana nahanyate hanyamane sharire. So we hear about the glories of Brajmandal. Then we say, yeah, Brajmandal, the Braj Bhumi, the Brajaraj, it's sacred. I should offer artik. I should roll in this dust. I should keep it on my, carry it on my head at every moment. I should eat some every day and honor this place. It's sacred. It's a dham. It's not a tirtha. There's so many holy tirthas, but there's dham is where the Lord has his eternal leelas. Tirtha is some place that's purifying or pavitram because of some naimitic leela. You go to Pushkar Tirtha in Rajasthan, for an example. Pushkar Tirtha is called Tirtha Raj in the Puranas, Tirtha Raj. And then we have Kumbh Mela, and there's four places, Nasik, Haridwar, Lalabad, and Ujjain, or the other ones. I can't think, maybe Ujjain, Nasik, Haridwar, and of course, Lalabad. So these are Tirthas. Something happened there, the nectar from Mohini's pot is falling into the rivers at a certain time, and the magmas, and Kumbh Rasi. It's called Kumbh Mela because the sun is in Kumbh Rasi. And it happens at that time. So that's an occasional Leela, the demigods and the demons are churning the ocean to produce the Mohini came and the nectar pot. And then like that. And then Pushkar, Tirtharaj. There was a yajna going on there. Brahma was there. And he couldn't wait for his wife, Savitri. She was late. And there was everything is Kaladesham Patra, the place, the time, everything's set up. If they don't chant the mantras and start the fire exactly the right second, in the right direction, and all these proper rules, then it's nishfal. It's useless. So then the whole leela happened. They took some lady from the village and processed her through a cow. Don't ask me how that works, but put her in the mouth of the cow and took her out the other side. Very interesting operation. And her name is Gayatri. Tree means to, Gay means cow, and tree means delivered. So that personality that was delivered from a cow, like you're called Mata Tree. We're delivered. No delivery, they say she gave delivery or she had a child. It's called delivery in English. She birthed the child. So this is Gayatri. Very funny story in Puranas. So then she would now, because all the demigods live in the body of the cow, and Brahma is the most celestial, topmost living entity, so he couldn't take any ordinary lady to be a proxy for his wife. Because for a married person to do a yajna, he needs his wife to sit next to him. Swaha, swaha. It's like this together. So his wife is late putting on her kajal or something. So they couldn't wait. So then the Brahmin said, what to do? This is a massive yajna here. We're doing this at Pushkar. And so then they said, we have to have a proxy for your wife, a stand-in. But only no one from earth can be like that. You're from Satyaloka. She has to be a celestial being. Well, how do we get a celestial being? That's why we have Brahmins, because they're very smart. Well, like all the demigods live in the body of the cow, 33 crores. So we'll take one lady, put her in the cow, and she'll come out the tail end as a celestial lady. She'll get demigodized. She'll be transformed from an earthly being, an ordinary being like us, to a celestial. So that's what they did, and her name is Gayatri. You've heard of Gayatri? Mother of the Vedas. And so this is the story of Pushkar. You can get read in Padma Puran, Skanda Puran, Pushkar Mahatmyam, the glories of Pushkar. It's a tirtha. And the story goes on. Savitri comes and says, Are, who's sitting next to my husband? You got remarried or what? What is this? So she's very angry. She carries a lotus flower in her hand like Lakshmi Devi and like Radharani, her Leela Kamal. Radharani carries her Leela Kamal, her blue lotus flower. what she taps Krishna with sometimes, tap, tap, when he's acting fresh, toot, tap, you know, tap, tap, tap. It's like a love tap, a lotus love tap. Dot, dot. Nothing better. So then she was angry. She's, what is this? You don't need me? Then she threw this lotus flower down. The word kar means hand, and push means flower. Patram, pushpam, phalam, tvayam. Bhagavad Gita, yeah? If you offer me leaf, fruit, flower, and water. So she said, you know, she said, what is this? And she was angry, went back to Brahmaloka. So where the flower, when it fell, some petals came off, and one, the main flower fell, the lotus flower, fell on there's a big kund there where everybody bathes, and then there's upper kund, which is all dry now. The two or three kunds were there. And that became a tirtha because of that naimittic occasional leela of Savitri coming there and her anger, and so it became tirtha. So that's one time, you can say leela, if you want to use the word. It's not proper use of the word, but one time anecdote. But what is, so we're reading, we're hearing about the glories of the Dham. This is Dham, Braja Dham, Sri Dham Vrindavan. Dham is not an occasional place. Dham is a nitya place. Everything else, Pushkar Tirth, Ayodhya, all these, so many tirthas. And there's nine cities, Navadwaram, Navamukta-dwaram, Navamukta-puram, nine cities which give liberation in India, Vishnu-Kanchi, Ayodhya, Mathura, Haridwar, Ujjain, Kasi, or Benares, I forget. Maybe Benares. And you call it Varanasi. The new name is Varanasi. So if you die there, it's a very powerful place. So this verse is saying about the. So we hear that this verse is about the power of bhajan, and what are the glories of these four things are mentioned here. So we read the verse in translation. Now we'll discuss the lines and the points. The first line is because four things are being described. Four wonderful points. What are they? First is Radha Nam Sankirtan. Radha Nam. We've heard of Krishna Nam. Hari Nam Sankirtan. Hari. And there's Radha Nam Sankirtan. Second point is Radha Charana Archan. The worship of Radharani's feet. Third point is Radha's Leela Bhumi from Braja Vrindavan. And the fourth point is the Adbhuta Siddhis of the Dasis. The Dasis, Adbhuta Siddhis, means the amazing powers of Radharani's Manjaris. How amazing are they? And all of these four things, Sripad is saying, koti, 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 millions, millions, millions. So now the first line he's talking about, he says, Radha Naimaiva Karyam Anudinam, Din. Deen means day, anu means following. Day after day, if someone engages in this, simply this, like the gentleman at Radhakund, every day, Radhe, 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 Radhe. Sometimes, for two or three years, he never left Radhakund, and only in the last year I see that occasionally I see him on Parikrama. Have you ever seen he does Radhakund Parikrama? Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. I guess he got restless. We just up and down, Janava Baitak, Das Goswami Ghat, Janava Baitak, Das Goswami Ghat, Janava Baitak, Das Goswami Ghat. Janava, Radhi, 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 Radhi. Very nice. So he is an exemplar, this line one of the Radha Namaeva Anudinam. Then what is that compared to? He's making a comparison here. Four things that are connected to Radha. Then Sripad compares them to four other things. And he says, these four things connected to Radha are millions and koti, 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 crores and crores, millions of times greater than these other four things, which for most people are amazing and the most desirable things. In the second translation of this verse, it says, crores are the best methods of regulated devotional service. It says, sadhana adisha koti. Koti means, in English, millions or crores? Adish, Adisha. Hmm? Adisha means controller, king, and Adi means the original, Adisha. So it's the translation of Sadhana Adisha means the king of all spiritual practices. This is the king of all spiritual practices, Radhanam Sankirtan. And this type of sadhana, Radhanam Sadhana, is koti, it's crores and crores. It's crores of the best methods of sadhana become tyaja. It says tyaja. Here, this Trent Dasara Sutta says they become as rejectable as garbage. That's a little bit of poetic license, because the Sanskrit simply says tyaja. Tyaja means like tyagi. Tyagi sadhu. Rejectable. I mean, he's a little like exaggerated and flamboyant in his translations, like the exaggerated bhavas and moods of Prabodhananda Saraswati himself. And Advaita Das, he said, millions of the best spiritual practices become rejectable. So he really stays, you know, on the line, doesn't add lots of flowers and poetic embellishments, which is nice, it's appreciated. But there's place for everything. So this is, of course, is Bob coming out in this translation. That's why they say that the books, BBT books, they say these commentaries are the ecstasies of the translator. They're the personal bhavas and ecstasies of Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. They often say that his tikas, his commentaries, they call purport. They're his effusions. His effusions, his bhava illuminations, or bhakti, they're his bhakti purports. So this translator, there's different types of outlook to translating, and I rather prefer the translator gives it as it is, whatever the Bengali or Sanskrit is, they present it as clear and transparent as it is. But of course, as I said, there's also room. Sometimes the bhav and the mood of the translator comes through, and this is also there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto. They're discussing something. I think it's the meeting at Kurukshetra Milan. Brijvasi, Mahishi, Krishna Milan, Kurukshetra, when Krishna from Dwarka met all the Brijvasis, the Vrishnis and Yadavas from Delhi and Pandavas. Everyone was there, and there was a meeting of the queens and the gopis, and there's a verse there. I can't remember just now, but Shukadeva Goswami, he's saying something a little, taking a dig, you can say, taking a dig at the Mahishis, the queens of Dwarka. He's kind of not really belittling them, but kind of diminishing their preeminence. And in Atika, Vishnu very astutely reveals to everyone that here you can see that Shukadeva could not cover his prejudice. He's leaning towards the Braja Gopis. So here in this Sanskrit shloka, I can't remember the particular one, but that tika is definitely there and that verse is there. Here, Shukadeva Goswami is venting his personal appreciation of the Gopis over the queens of Dwarka. So there, that's his kind of bhav. He's in this verse, he's saying, oh, because the queens in Dwarka, they're all one in tattva with the gopis, but there's a great difference in ras, as you know. Satyabhama is Radharani, and Rukmini is Chandravali, and Alita is this one, that one. They all have their expansions there. So in the same way, the translator has his bhav that all kinds of sadhana is rejectable as garbage. In other words, he's really saying Radhanam is everything. Everything else. He's not saying everything else. He's saying every kind of sadhana. There's so many types of sadhana. And he's saying they're all garbage. And then the next thing, he says, for whom? For one who daily absorbs in hearing and chanting the name of Radha. So that's the first line. It's all about Radhanam Sankirtan, and we have some discussion on that. Radhanam Sankirtan. This is the first point. Sripad says, Tyaja, reject all things, all the best types of sadhanas, except... Now, we have to be clear, because when he says, reject all sadhanas, he doesn't mean navavita bhakti. And this is the point in the purport by the acharyas. I'm repeating. Because you might say, oh, I just reject everything. But the hearing and chanting, so hearing about Radharani, chanting the glories of Radharani, hearing the glories of Radha and Krishna, chanting the glories of Radha and Krishna, remembering Radha and Krishna, worshipping the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, worshipping Radha and Krishna, archanam, offering prayers to Radha and Krishna, vandanam, becoming a dasi of Radharani, dasyam, and becoming a dasi of Radha and Krishna, a dasi, and then becoming a friend, becoming a sakhi of Radharani, then atmana vedanam, giving everything to Radharani. So this is so navavita bhakti has its place even for someone who's doing Manjari Bhava Upasana, as worshipping them in Manjari Bhava. Because Atmana Vedanam is represented by the gopis. They're the highest examples of those that gave everything and surrendered every single thing to Krishna. No one is greater than them. Swajanam Tyajanam Arya Patam Chahitvam. Uruva Mahashaya is glorying them, Swajanam, Tyajanam, Swajanam, Vrindavanam Kim, that they rejected and gave up everything, their name, fame, birth, sati, dharma, everything to serve Krishna. So this, we still, of course, we reject any sadhana that isn't connected to worshipping Radharani. So sadhana adisha, this is in the first line. This adisha, that means, the king of sadhanas includes tapasya and also yamas and niyamas, yoga, dhyan, and all kinds of elaborate pujas and motivated shastra study to make profit. Profit, this calls them professional Bhagavat reciters. There are many professional Bhagavat reciters. Many devotees speak on the Bhagavatam. Many non-devotees also speak on the Bhagavatam. When I said devotees, that means devotees. Many Mayavadis also speak the Bhagavatam. One of the most famous philosophers and speakers of the 19th or 20th century in Vrindavan was Dongri Maharaj. He's a big ashram in Vrindavan. And he was a Shankar, a follower. He's a Mayavadi. But he used to speak the Bhagavatam and very elaborately and very much appreciated by all the Vrijvasis and Goswamis, and because it was so erudite and so amazing. But you can say, here's an example of someone speaking Bhagavatam, but he's not a devotee. He's a Brahma Sayuja Mayavadi. But they speak for profit, and many don't. They don't charge. You bring me to your place, I'll speak the Bhagavatam. If you want to give something, you give. That's the best. So these are considered materially motivated sadhanas. But by all the different sadhanas, everywhere it's told, also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, nama shreshtas. Sadhana shreshtas, nam bhajan. Of all the shreshta, the best of all the sadhanas is nam. People often ask sometimes, devotees, I'm torn. I don't know whether to study or to chant japa or do kirtan or study or listen. What is the best sadhana? What is the best practice to do? Well, there's two considerations here. One consideration is that according to Shastra and according to our Mahajans, Krishna's Kaviraj, Lord Chaitanya, etc., the shreshta, the best of all sadhanas, is nam sankirtan, loud chanting of the holy name. Not in kirtan, japa is not loud, japa is something else. But just loud harinam sankirtan. This is the best form of devotional service. That's one consideration. Yes, scripturally it's the best. But the next point is, what is your ruchi? What is your attraction, natural attraction and liking? So you may not, many devotees may not have a natural liking to chant the holy name 24 hours a day. It's very, very rare. There's verses that say if someone is automatically and spontaneously attracted to chanting the holy name, then he has been chanting for 100 previous births. 100 previous births, he's been chanting 16 rounds a day, or 20 rounds a day, or for Kartik, 20 rounds a day, or 32 rounds a day, or whatever. So it's not so easy. So the idea is that any form of bhakti, which is also told, will give prema. If it's done as niropadi, if one is niropadi, niropadi and niraparadi. Any practice of bhakti, living in a holy dham, just living in a holy dham. But you have to be niropadi and niraparadi. Niraparadi is clear, means without any aparads. We don't make any aparads to Vaishnavas or anyone. It's difficult. Aparads in Kali Yuga, the committing of aparads in Kali Yuga is like as frequent as breathing. It's quite prevalent, and unfortunately. And the other is niropadi. One must be free from designations. That I'm something. I'm less. To live in Vrajadham effectively or successfully, one must thoroughly realize that I'm lower than the straw in the street. Everyone says Trinadapi Sunichina Turari Vasahishana Amani Namanidena Kirtaniya Sadari. But if we ever think for one minute that we're better or bigger and more significant and more important than one stone in Vrindavan and one pebble in Vrindavan, then we have upadhi. Upadhi means designation. Then we're not niropadhi, free from designation. Vrindavan me kan kan bole Shri Radha Radha. Vrindavan me kan kan bole Shri Radha Radha. Kankan means little pebble, little tiny stone that we're sitting on. The ground we're sitting on is chanting Shri Radha, Shri Radha, Shri Radha. Are we chanting Shri Radha, Shri Radha? We go to so many places and we sit, I needed to rest. Nothing is said. We're just like relaxing. It's too hot. I walk too long on Govardhan and Prakamayapas takes it down for a minute. My legs ache, my back aches. But we don't, Shri Radha, Shri Radha, Shri Radha, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, whatever. Oftentimes, I've kind of Govardhan Prakamayapas devotees and everyone starts up like this, with their hands like this. And after about an hour, some people are just walking like this, and their hands aren't in their bead bags. And some people are really, really, I like these people most. They take off their neck beads and put them in their shoulder bag so they don't get caught here or there. And they're just walking. And I look, I gave up trying to correct anybody long ago. You just do your thing and let everybody do their thing, but try to be Krishna conscious. And I think what's more important in a Vaishnava Sangha is loving dealings and appreciating, okay, we're here. I mean, what's the common good point here? Okay, we're all doing prikama, bus. You want to do it that way? Somebody else is walking along, even playing with their cell phone, walking down on the prikama. I looked, it was 20 years earlier, I might have said, what's this? But now I say, okay, life is like that. Comme ça, comme ça. They say in French, is it right? French, comme ça, comme ça. Let it live. So this is Radha's Nam Sankirtan is the best and topmost, and because it leads to and assists and fructifies in Radha Krishna Lila Smaran and Radha Govinda's Astakali Lila Manasi Seva. Therefore, Nam Sankirtan, especially Radha Nam Sankirtan, is never to be abandoned, Tyaja, by any sadhaka, even if he's very advanced devotee and even liberated. He will chant Shuddha Nam. When if he's advanced and if he's liberated from this world, then he will chant Shuddha Nam, Prem Nam, and he'll relish nectar leelas at every moment inside of every syllable. Ha Re Krishna, Krishna. Every syllable, mantra, will have a lila inside. You see the descriptions of different acharyas, Dasgupta Swami, Vishnu Chakravarti. There are two they're attributed to them, but we can't find in their official writings, but they're contained in a Bengali book of songs, and it's called Padakalpa Charu. It's about this thick. There's like 5,000 bhajans and poems inside, and it even has the page number, and I've seen this. The meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra by Raghunath Das Goswami and by Srila Vishnu Chakravartipad. And I had them translated for me from this Bengali book by one friend. And I was thinking of putting them in my Art of Chanting book, but I thought, not so much for the general public. So I put just an idea. There's a small section that gives some idea of the angle and a vision of these great devotees who are seeing such wonderful intimate leelas in the holy name of the Lord. So there's really no separation, there's no difference between Nam and Leela. We say Nam Rup Guna and Leela. So for the advanced devotees, Leela and Nam fuse together one experience of ecstasy. For the advanced devotees, Leela and Nam fuse together in one experience of continual ecstasy. That's a nice put on your Facebook type thing. Anyway, I just speak, other people do my Facebook. Therefore, Nam, don't abandon. There's a nice verse which we have in our notes, which we alluded to the other day, from 11th Canto Bhagavatam in Uddhava Gita, Teachings of Krishna to Uddhav. 11th Canto, chapter 2, verse 40. Evam vrata swa priya nama kirtya jat anarago juta chitta uche hasatyato roditi roti gayat yunmaravan rityati lokabayam. This is about someone who's on the level of rati, jata anuragi. He's on the level of bhav and he's experiencing anurag. And his consciousness melts. The translation is here. In this verse, of course, he's saying, Prabhupada Saraswati is saying, Radhane namaiva karyam anudinam militam saranadisha koti. That simply, day after day, if someone is simply chanting Radha, only Eva, certainly only chanting Radharani's name, Radha, 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 Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. And you can't force that. You can force it for 1 hour, maybe one day you can go around and pretend you have ruchi for Radha's naam. But every day, it says anudinam, anudinam, day after day. So we can appreciate that when someone has something like this, it's amazing. And I remember once, I was after a year or so after this gentleman was here at Radhakund chanting every day, Radha, Radha. I had this realization. I said, this person is really a great soul. So it was in Magh Mas. I was about, I don't know, a half hour or so before sunrise. I was bathing in Radhakund. He was the only one there. And so I came to, I offered dandavats at his feet, and I was just, and he was just like, Radha, 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 like that. Because in my heart, I realized this person has attachment for the name of Radharani. And I don't. Once in a while I say, Jai Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. He really has. And so I just wanted to surrender at his lotus feet and maybe elicit or attract a drop of mercy or a glance or a thought or some pity. Oh, this pitiable, wretched Videshi. How unfortunate he doesn't have Ruchi Varada's name. Something I was trying to extract or receive a drop of mercy. So I just stood up and he said, no, 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 like this. No, no, don't be like this. And I just folded my hands and walked over to the side. So this is this verse is explaining that he says tyaja, he says it. Can you imagine sarana adi, what is it? Saran adisha koti tyaja. I reject millions of kinds of sadhanas in favor of chanting the name of Radha. This is his exaggerated, his ecstatic ecstasy, but it shows that the great glories of Radha's name, or Krishna's name. So he disregards all their sadhanas except this bhava-mayi sadhana practice of Raghunuga Bhakti. Because there's different types of Raghunuga Bhakti. So bhava-mayi means that which is made of the bhav you want to have. We want Radha bhav. We want this dasi bhav of Radharani. So when they talk about in Raghavartman and Chandrika, talk about the five types of bhava sambandhi, bhava anukul, virod, etc. So the first one, and the one we should stay with and always be absorbed in, is bhava mayi. And it's basically another way of saying, moment to moment, day to day, anudinam, we're hearing and chanting and remembering Radha Govinda Yugal, and especially the intimate services of Radharani and her pleasure. This is a special Radhasneya Adik Vichar viewpoint of the Radhasneya Adik Manjaris and Kinkaris. Radha and Krishna's pleasure and their union and their happiness together, but especially Radharani, because we're her dasis. We're specifically Radharani's dasis. We live with her, we move with her, we eat with her, everything we do with Radharani. When she's with Krishna, then we're serving her with Krishna. We're serving her and to please Krishna by pleasing her and serving her. So ultimately we're pleasing Radha and Krishna. They're inseparable. You can't separate a flower from its scent. You can't separate the fire from its heat. So you can't separate Radha from Krishna. So this is the point he's saying, this Bhagavatam verse, Evam Vrata Supriya Namakirtya. He's saying that this sadhana practice, he says, lokabaya, he doesn't care or he disregards outsiders. So this verse of Sripad clearly establishes the exalted position of Nam Kirtan. And the reason I quoted this verse in the Bhagavatam, because this verse also establishes the supremacy of Nam Kirtan. Evam, Vrata Priya Sonama Kirtya, Priyanam. Everyone knows, Swa means my own. Swaha, I offer myself. Swaha, my own. Priya, what is my own dear name? What name really does it appeal to me? As we were saying the other day about Nishinga mantras or praying to Lord Nishinga for protection. But our Ishta is one, Krishna. So we always want Krishna's name. We always want the name of our Ishta on our lips. You've heard of Hanuman. Hanuman, he was always chanting Ram's name all the time. And even there's a story that from the Mahabharata, I'm trying to remember how it was. Krishna was lying on a bed, and maybe Hastinapur or Indraprastha. And also lying on the bed together was Arjuna. And you see in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna shows his Virata Rupam, his universal form, then Arjuna starts praying, "Oh, my friend, Krishna, I didn't realize it, that you're the God of gods, you're Jagannath, Jagadisha. I mean, we sat together. We slept together in the same bed, we sat together, we ate together," and he's trembling in fear. So there he's saying, we sat together in the same bed, we slept together. So this is a small admission of the intimacy and Sakyabhav, that particular Sakyabhav of Arjuna and Krishna. They were about the same age. So in this particular pastime, I believe it's in Mahabharata, Krishna and Arjuna are lying in the bed together. And Krishna is lying, maybe it's even Briya Bhagavatamrita, I forgot. But Krishna is lying there and he's holding the feet of Arjuna on his chest. Okay? Krishna's head is on this side of the bed and his feet. And then on the other side of the bed is Arjuna and he's lying and he's holding Krishna's feet. standing by the head of Krishna is Rukmini. She's fanning. And standing by the head of Arjuna is Draupadi, his wife. She's fanning them. And they're resting. Narada Muni came. You know, he's always there at exactly the right time. Perfect judge of time, place, and circumstance. Narada Muni Bhajanavina. So he's there. And he comes in and he says, what is this? His eyes, Narada Muni's eyes become very big. What am I seeing? This is a beautiful, extraordinary scene of the intimate love and exchanges of fraternal love. Sakyarati of Bhagavan Sri Krishna and his Gandiva Raj Arjuna. Each is clutching the other's feet to their chest. Not clutching, but caressing with the most affection, the most attachment, and the most care. That's what I'm seeing with my eyes. But more importantly, what am I hearing with my ears? They're both asleep. But coming from Krishna's body, every pore of Krishna's body is transcendental pores. From his head to his feet is chanting Arjuna. Arjun, Arjun, Arjun. And I hear on the other side, Arjun is holding Krishna's feet to his chest and he's chanting Krishna, Krishna. From his fingers, his face, his body, his whole body is chanting Krishna, Krishna. So this is absorption in the now. I was in my notes, but it just came to me. So this verse that we were reading describes that point of this Supriyanamam Kirtya, so much attachment. So then he says, intense attachment, anurag and bhav, he will melt his heart, druta chitta. Then that bhava bhakta, loving devotee, will loudly chant Radha's nam in great agitation and love of God, and he will laugh, cry, sing, and dance like a madman, without considering anyone, totally indifferent to public opinion. That's how Srila Prabhupada translates it. I really like that. In the Sanskrit it says, evam vrata svapriyanama kirtya, his own favorite name, like Krishna's favorite name when he's with Arjuna is Arjuna. And Arjuna's favorite name all the time is Krishna. Jata anurago druta chitte. Then he says, unmad. Unmad, he's totally mad in ecstasy. Bhava, chanting nam. Nrityati, he starts dancing. Lokabhayam, the loka, the people. They're far removed, they're far outside. He doesn't care about anything. So in one edition of the Bhagavatam, it says, he doesn't consider anyone. He's just chanting, dancing, laughing, sometimes rodati crying, sometimes hasati. Radhe, Radhe, oh Radhe, Radhe. He's crying, he's laughing. This is a desirable state of madness, but maybe it might take 100 lifetimes to become that way. Not a bad idea, but it's rare. And even the most exalted devotees, they generally contain themselves. We also read that. They contain their ecstasy swirling in their hearts, and certainly if they have any outbreaks or outbursts of divine ecstatic symptoms, they often will have them in private. It's not a public show, because the minds of the ordinary people, shruti shmiti pranadi pancha achrika vidim vidam utpatyaiva kalpate, will cause some disturbance in the minds of the ordinary people. They won't understand the motions and behavior of the transcendentalist who is exhibiting ecstatic symptoms. So these are usually done in private. So he says, they don't care about anyone, and Prabhupada translates that they will be indifferent to public opinion. So now, this is more on the Sankirtan. During the and Gauranga Mahaprabhu's Leela, I guess we heard a little bit about Krishna Leela and Arjuna. During the Leela, Pradosh Leela in the evening, that's from 6:36 to 8:48 or so, there was evening kirtans in Shiva Sangam. Mahaprabhu and his Nitya Siddha Parishads were chanting. Harinam Sankirtan and dancing in euphoria. They didn't care about anything. Gauranga Mahaprabhu was dancing in ecstatic bliss while internally and mentally absorbed in seeing and feeling Radha Govinda's Pradosh Leela. Ras Leela dancing in Vrindavan on the banks of the Yamuna. So this is told in some of the books describing the Nitya Leela of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So that's an example of someone also absorbed in the Nam Sankirtan and dancing in bliss. The second point of this verse, he's saying that millions of sadhanas compared to Radha's Nam are insignificant. I reject them. Then he says, Niraja Radha Padakamala Sudam Satpumar Arta Kroti. He says that all the goals of human existence, Chatur Purusharta, Dharma, Art, Kama, Moksha, I don't care. Millions of those things. I don't care about millions of objectives and millions of benefits and going to Vaikuntha. I don't care about anything. I just care about the worshipping, the nectar at the lotus feet of Radharani. He says, Radha Pada Kamala Sudham. Radha Pada Kamala Sudham. That Sudha, that nectar at the lotus. Because lotus flowers have nectar. That's what the honeybees come for the nectar. Of the lotus flowers. So Radharani's feet have so much her lotus feet have so much nectar that the devotee, he doesn't care about dharma, art, kama, moksha, everything. It's like, let it all go. It doesn't matter to him. He says why? Because he's relishing the timeless nectar of Radha's lotus feet. Radhacharan Archan. Worshipping the nectar of Radha's feet. That's a fact. And Rag Marg, someone who's practicing Raghunuga Bhakti, he's experiencing some special taste. What that taste is in the beginning, it's not very clear. But it's clear the origin of that taste. Where is that taste coming from? And it's coming from meditating on Radha's feet or trying to serve her feet. Because that's the whole idea of Dasyam. When we say Radha Dasyam, Padasevanam. So Padasevanam means serving the feet. Dasyam, Padasevanam. Dasyam means serving. So Radha Dasyam means serving the feet of Radharani. So any service that one has in his meditation connected to Radharani, he's tasting something. And he feels some happiness and joy when he enters that seva. The advanced devotees, the Babaji's and others that are practicing Raghunuga Bhakti, they often say like this, you should always stay in your sarup. Always stay in your sarup and always meditate on your nitya seva. Because every sadhaka that has a nitya seva, eternal seva, that particular seva will be rendered many, many times throughout the day in the course of Radha Krishna's Astakalya Leela. And he'll get the indication of when that particular service is rendered by reading Govinda Leelamrita and Bhavanamrita. Say your service is padasamvahan, massaging feet. So when is massaging feet done? It can be done at Radharani's waking up in the kunja. It can be done when Radharani's waking up in Yavat or Varsana. It can be done after rasa dance. It can be offered the seva, massaging Radharani's feet. Can be offered after different romantic interludes with Krishna and Radharani and the Kuncha, they may be there. So these different places and time periods when Radharani's having her feet massaged by different sakis, usually mantris, are told in the scriptures if you look closely. So when you're given a particular nitya seva, then you very minutely study all the scriptures and see where that seva is mentioned. Then you line it up through the day. Okay, when's the first? So many different sevas will do. But when's the first? Starting from, say, 6 a.m. when Radharani wakes up, or say in the kunja, because this is Nishant Leela. So from 3:36 in the morning when Radha and Krishna Yoga wake up in kunja, Nidiban or wherever, Nibritinda Kunja, then all the sevas begin, or actually begin before that. So then throughout the day you'll write down, okay, at this time and this time and this place my service is there, and this time and that place. Do you follow what I'm saying? Is it clear? Yeah. So then when the devotees say one should always stay in your sarup and always meditate on your seva. Usually we only do this when we're sitting down for meditation, yoga pityan. If some devotees they do yoga pityan, some devotees don't. But we're sitting down to meditate on our sarup and our line, our guru parampara, etc. Then we're meditating on the leelas. But they say, always stay in your sarup and always meditate in your leelas. So then, throughout the day, you're thinking, oh, now it's this time. Oh, and Radha and Krishna are here. And once I give a class, there's two questions we should always have in our mind. Not like, when's class over and where's the food or where's the prasadam? Two questions we should always have. Where are Radha Krishna Yugal right now? And what is my seva at this moment to please them? Of course, this is ideal. I can't say that I walk my talk or live my shiksha, but this I said this years ago because I realized that this is the goal of absorption and bhajan. We have so many questions. Prabhupada uses this analogy often when he's describing philosophy and sadhana. Everyone they're crowding their minds with questions. Where is this? Where is that? How will this happen? How will that happen? But these questions that I just brought up are very rarely entertained, of course, never by materialists, and rarely by spiritualists. But this is, the sum and substance of our entire existence as bhajan, as worshippers of Radha and Krishna, whether we're in a field actively distributing to the innocent masses, still we're doing bhajan. Bhajan preaching, they have this idea, some people do bhajan, some people do preaching. I never heard that or read that anywhere in the Goswami books. Preaching means speaking the glory, kirti, sankirtan. Preaching means speaking the glories of Krishna, whether you're speaking it in a kunja and Navadvip with Prem Das Babaji and Raghunath Das Babaji or whatever, in Jiva Dharma, or you're speaking here in this kunja, this is Madhana Sukhada Kunj. And Vishakas Gunja. And then, so we're speaking here. Let's say this is an annex. Annex of Madana Sukhada Kunj. And our Yuteshri is Vishaka. So, this is also, we're also preaching. We're also distributing Krishna consciousness. Every devotee, anyone is a devotee. He'll speak about Krishna. You just can't stop him, whether he's a Babaji or a sannyasi or a housewife or any wife or any life, any wife, any life, any position. We'll speak. We'll say Hare Krishna. We'll chant Japa. We'll chant Kirtan. As soon as something comes out of you, that means you're distributing. Right? Well, he's a book distributor. A book means Shabda Brahman, it means Kirti of Krishna. Everyone's distributing. So this is another point. So the worship of the eternal nectar of Radha's beautiful lotus feet is far beyond millions of arts, objectives, goals, and attainments of human life. The Shrutis and the Vedas, they describe the Chatur Purushartha, which we all heard a million times already. Observing religious observances or following them and practices, acquiring money, economic development, fulfilling our material desires, and finally emancipation. Okay, I've had enough, let me out of here. And freedom in Brahman or Vaikuntha Mukti Moksha. However, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he said prema is the only thing. That's the fifth goal, Panchama Purushartha. So this is the complete love of Godhead. There's nothing more than that. This is the topmost goal. So we'll attain love of Godhead by worshipping the lotus feet of Radharani. That's called Madharam Samapayet. Payet. To end on a Madharam Samapt. Like we say, Kartik Samat, you see in the Hindi calendar, Radhakund calendar in Bengali and Hindi. Niyam Seva Samat, that means it's Aramba. Aramba means begins, and Samat means it's over. So Madaram Samapayat means that the end, it should end on a sweet note. So we fold our hands and we offer our respects to the Chatur Purushartha. But we, Raghunugiya Bhaktas, are following the Ragmarg given to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our beloved guardians of devotion, our Dikshan Shiksha Gurus. We prefer over millions of those things, goals of human life, we prefer simply to worship the lotus feet of Radharani. By worshipping the lotus feet of Radharani, we will attain everything, especially the sweet nectar of the Prem Seva Radhagovinda Yugal in the Kunjas of Vrindavan. Nothing more, nothing less. This is our param gati, our supreme and one and only goal. Always keep your cherished ideal in your heart, in your mind. This is me, this is where I'll be, and this is who I'll be with, and this is what I'll do. Very clear. You know, you have these scan discs or something. This is me, this is where I'll be, this is who I'll be with, and this is what I'll do. So I think we'll continue there tomorrow in this verse, 144. Shri Radhara Sudha Nidhi Ki Jai.
Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe.
Prabhadananda Saraswati Pada Ki Jai, Shri Kartik Devi Radharani Ki Jai, Shyamakanda Radhakundi Govardhana Ki Jai.